shotglassdigital.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man who is half Dalek and half Time Lord, Adam Farmer.
I'm a hybrid. You better watch out. I'm a hybrid. This is what happens when you mix two amazing things together.
You get Adam Farmer.
You get Adam Farmer. I guess I can no longer claim to be a Time Lord, though, if I go that route, so... I don't know. I might back off on that one.
All right. Well, we are here to review an episode of Doctor Who. We're not going to talk about any news, I don't think, right?
No. I would say let's jump right into the episode. Things are very much focused on the series. There's not much coming out. I mean, we had all the rumors prior to things starting, and then things have kind of fallen quiet on the rumor mill as fans get plugged right back into the series.
Yeah, so we watched the Magician's Apprentice, episode one. Now we're moving on to part two. We were kind of left with a bit of a cliffhanger. Now we're on to part two, The Witch's Familiar.
Yeah.
And we're just going to jump right into talking about the episode. So this was episode two, season nine. This one was written by Stephen Moffat and directed by Hedy McDonald. Same team as the first episode.
And everybody was going pretty, it looked like most people had a pretty high opinion of the cliffhanger, where it left us at. I know that we kind of, based on our seven questions that we ended last episode with, kind of knew that it wasn't that much of a cliffhanger, not very many big questions. I loved how it ended, but we still were pretty certain how things would pick back up. And that's kind of where we pick up this episode.
So let's talk about the title. Because episode one was the Doctor's Apprentice or the Magician's Apprentice,
right?
And we both agreed that that was referring to the most random character or the most random side character, Bors, right?
Bors, yep.
So now we have the Witch's Familiar. So who is that referring to?
I have no idea.
No, I have an opinion.
I mean, I would say, like, gut reaction, I would say that Missy is probably the witch. As far as, like, her familiar, I have no idea. I don't know who I would peg in that position if we said the Magician's Apprentice was Bors. Maybe the witch's familiar, Clara?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
That's how I would go with it. You know, that's the witch's familiar. It's, like, kind of if the magician has an apprentice, the witch has a familiar. So kind of like her apprentice, which in this episode was pretty much Clara. So yeah, I'm thinking it means Clara. Maybe it means nothing, but I was curious to see if you had an opinion about that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you take it from that angle, the apprentice learns from the magician, and Bors kind of picked up tidbits from the doctor along the way. And then if we view Missy as being the witch and her familiar, someone who's kind of like learning from her as she goes about, Missy did do a good deal of instructing when it came to Clara in regards to kind of who the doctor was as a person, as a Time Lord, as a friend, but also just kind of about Daleks in general. So yeah, I would probably go with that. Those titles definitely are a little bit more vague though, compared to some of the other ones that we have coming up and some of the ones that we've already gone past, but...
Yeah, Clara was a bit naive this episode, I thought. Almost a little out of character in some of the things that she fell for. The Missy kind of had her off of her game a little bit.
Yeah, and I gotta say, reading a few things, a few reviews of the episode, some things that other people said, they mentioned the same thing. I really enjoyed it. It was kind of nice to have Clara not so know-it-all. Like, she... it seems like in the first episode, Unit called her and she like kind of stepped up to the plate and she was instructing everybody as far as what they should be doing and figuring out the riddle. And she was, I don't know, it seemed like she was no longer companion-esque, but more like she grew bigger than what her character ought to have been, I guess, in my opinion. But it was kind of nice to see her back, like, not a main character, I guess.
You like to see her knock down a peg.
Yeah, I did. She's not the doctor. I know that we've had some discussion about that in the past, like how it seems like the doctor's her puppy and she's kind of walking him around on a leash and she's in control and the doctor needs her. It was kind of nice to see that she wasn't all-knowing, all-powerful Clara.
So we're talking about Clara and Missy, and the episode actually starts out with them two in kind of an odd situation. kind of cool, but also kind of odd. The cool part is Missy's telling a story about the doctor, and we get to see some flashes of classic doctors. It looked like the fourth and the first. Is that what you read it as?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It started with the fourth, and then it transitioned to what looked like the back of Hartnell's head.
Okay, yeah. When they showed the fourth doctor, it was very clear that it was supposed to be the fourth. But when they flipped it to the first, it was a little bit more, you know, I'm pretty sure that was meant to be the first, but it definitely wasn't quite as obvious.
Right. And I really loved what they did there, especially the way that Missy was describing it. Like, they all run together in her head. We'll just give it to the eyebrows, which I thought was a funny line. Missy had a lot of great lines in this episode. Again, there's a lot of discussion as to her humor and the way that Moffat writes for her. But I really like it so far. But I loved that little scene because we've talked about it in the past in other episodes. When I think back to different episodes in my mind, it might not have been an episode that had Tennant in it, but the doctor I see in my mind when I think back to the episode is Tennant. Like, Tennant becomes the doctor in every one of my memories of every one of the episodes. So it was kind of fun to, like, have the character even, Missy even say the same thing. Like, they all run together in my mind. We'll just give it to eyebrows. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. But I really like that.
Don't let me forget, because we posted on Facebook if anybody had any questions for us to answer for this episode, and it looks like we're getting a couple questions.
Yeah.
So before we get to the end of the episode, we'll make sure we hit those so we don't forget. All right.
Yeah, definitely. I have the list up on my side too.
All right. So she's telling the story, and the story seems like maybe it really happened. Maybe she's just making it up to explain how she did her whole teleport thing. But it was a humorous story. I liked that part of it. What I didn't like was the part where she had Clara hanging upside down and kind of like, it just was so silly. Like, what, when did she have time to do that? Like, or the strength to do that? And why, you know, like, why did she tie her up? I know her explanation was, well, just in case I can't find anything to eat later or whatever, but it just seems so silly. They couldn't have had that same conversation with Clara just on the ground.
I know, but it's such a expression of Missy's character at this point. She is just a loose cannon. She's a nutcase. She's bananas, whatever direction you want to go with it. It just, like, it fits her character to have Clara waking up out of being knocked out and see Missy there sharpening a stick. Like, she's scaring Clara, essentially. And just her idea of like, it's just so if I go hunting and if I can't catch anything, that's why you're up there. Like you said, could they have had the conversation with Claire on the ground? Yeah, possibly. But to me, I loved it. I thought actually, it was just funny.
Actually, I like your explanation because it's almost like it's like psychological.
Yeah.
She's already starting out. She knows that she's going to try to manipulate Clara. Throughout the entire episode, she manipulates Clara. So why not start out with her hanging upside down as she wakes up? You know, that just puts her right into that mindset where, you know, she's not in control.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess if you look at it from that angle, it does make a little bit more sense. Maybe it was a calculated move on Missy's part as opposed to just being Missy being crazy.
And it's kind of like the continuation of the first episode, The Magician's Apprentice, where Missy really doesn't like Clara. like the doctor's her friend and Claire's just the dog. No one really needs it. One of the lines that I was going to mention later is just the idea of every miner needs a canary. That Claire is just this expendable pet. She really has no value other than what you can use her for at that point in time. And that's just how Missy approaches her throughout the entire episode. She's just a tool to be used. She's a pawn to play in the game. I love the way that Missy is handling that or handled it throughout the episode. But yeah, having her dangling from the string at the, or the rope at the very beginning, upside down, spinning a circle as Missy's telling a story and sharpening a stick, I just thought fit perfectly with who Missy or how we're seeing Missy portrayed at this point in time.
So we go from that scene to a scene with the doctor and Davros. I like this scene. I like the back and forth. I like how when the doctor gets the old ancient gun and Davros is like, oh, well, that doesn't work or whatever. And the doctor just fixes it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, genius. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like the interaction here. But then this kind of turns into a whole nother, like, even more silly part, I guess you could say, with the doctor pretty much stealing Davros's chair.
Yes. Yeah. First things first, the interactions between Davros and Capaldi, Davros and the doctor, aces. Like it's such a showcase of Capaldi. This episode to me just like reiterates, and I think we even said about last episode, like it reminds us of why Capaldi was put into this role as a doctor. He played it perfectly, and Davros was just like this perfect foil for what the doctor was going through. But yeah, the part where the doctor steals Davros's his chair, his wheelchair, his like movable seat, whatever you want to call it. I loved it, especially as like the Daleks are all in the main control room and they're like freaking out, and you see the little dot that's supposed to represent Davros going through the hall. And I don't know about you, but like hearing help me, it sounded exactly like Capaldi. So I kind of knew what was going to happen when the door opened up, but then to see the doctor standing there or sitting there, and as he rolls in and he's just like, tell me that you've all had the same nightmare before. it's so good. We talked about it last episode, like the way that the doctor is portrayed now, in this character, he's kind of got this goofy edge to him, but yet he's still very serious and stoic. He's not like Matt Smith over the handlebars goofy, but he still has a solid sense of humor with these two episodes. And when he's in that Davros's seat, it totally comes out.
I think maybe the biggest personality trait for this doctor is his arrogance.
Yeah.
And
no,
that just is shining through. I mean, even the part where he fixes a gun and he says genius, you know, like he's calling himself a genius.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I know the doctors kind of, you know, they play the cleverest man in the room. That's the role he plays. But a lot of times he's not the one saying it. And so, you know, this is, you know, him saying that he's a genius, him, you know, his arrogance, like kind of rolling in with the wheelchair, bragging about how he hasn't even been there for 42 minutes and he's already taken over the whole planet. You know, like this is season one Capaldi coming back, I believe, more so than we saw in the first episode.
It's season one Capaldi with the arrogance, and you're absolutely right. It's not a goofiness. It's an overt arrogance that cracks jokes at the people that he's facing off against.
Exactly. His funny is mean.
Yeah.
His funny in episode one was endearing, and now he's getting back to that mean funny.
But I'm interested to see if this mean funny continues with Claire, because Claire was the butt of every joke throughout series eight. And it seems like maybe they have gotten over that hurdle. I don't know. I'm interested to see if he continues to crack jokes at her. I'm totally cool with his arrogance and his like cruel sense of humor coming out against other people. I don't think it's going to be as tiring if it's not every episode the exact same person, but having it against the Daleks, it was just comical, especially when it's like, question, where did I get my tea from? Answer, I'm the doctor, accept it. I don't know where I got the tea from, but it was just such a great line.
Yeah, I was thinking about episode titles for this episode, and that one is in the running. We always do a quote from the doctor from the episode, and "Where did I get this tea?" was one of the ones I was thinking of putting, because yeah, that was one of my favorite lines.
Yeah, it's a great line.
But in his arrogance, he does not notice that all the snakes around his feet, apparently, and he is captured by Colony Sarf, and that ends that scene. And then we cut back to Missy and Clara, who are now in the or I guess this is the part where they move into the sewers, right?
Right, the sewers and the Daleks language, which I'm still trying to wrap my mind around. I didn't know that they had a different language for Daleks, but in the doctor's word, or in the Daleks language, sewer is also a graveyard.
That's true. I guess they do pretty much speak English.
Yeah, I didn't know that we needed to interpret
A
sewer.
very stunted, annoying version of English, but yeah, English nonetheless. But yeah, so we have this scene with them too. Kind of a funny scene where they're looking down the hole, and Claire's like, "Oh, maybe we can throw a stone down there and see how deep it is." And then Missy's like, "Yeah," and then just knocks her down the hole. And
Yeah.
it's kind of horrifying because that's a pretty far drop. And my goodness, that's one of my fears of falling. But yeah, when Missy does it, it is kind of funny.
Yeah, I cracked up laughing, not even
Claire
though.
didn't think it was funny.
No, Claire didn't think it was funny. But I honestly laughed out loud watching that, because just the way that Missy's like, "Oh, good idea," and shoves Claire over, and you hear Claire fall and then hit the ground, and Missy just kind of like cocks her head 20 feet. And it's just like so
And
deadpan. Like, it's not like she's trying to be funny. That's just, oh yeah, why not? Claire, again, is just a tool to be used. I'll push her down, see how deep it is, and then we'll move on.
yeah, I mean 20 feet, that's a pretty big fall.
That's a good
I'm
drop.
yeah that's you're thinking of the height of a basketball hoop, that's two times that. Surprising she didn't have any injuries,
Right.
but she
She kind of had to wake up again, and this time she had the pointy stick.
But yeah, so this is where they start to explain, what the sewers are. And I'm gonna say it now, I have some pretty big issues with some of the story points in this episode, and they all revolve around the idea of these Daleks decaying but never dying.
You didn't like the liquefied Daleks?
No, I mean, we'll get to it as the story goes on, but yeah, that the kind of the explanation that the Daleks don't ever die, but they decay, it doesn't really make any sense at all. They're genetically designed to never die. I get that, but at some point it doesn't matter how you're genetically designed. If your body decays enough, you're going to stop moving and stop having consciousness. So yeah, we can talk about it a little bit more as we get into the end of the episode, but yeah, this is the beginnings of my issues with this episode.
Yeah, it definitely was one of those things that was an interesting element to have into the story. And what kind of caught me as Missy is explaining it, she even says something along the lines of they're always, or they're hardwired to always survive well. And even in the closed captions, it just does like dot, dot, dot. And then she just kind of cuts herself off and then continues on. So it's one of those things where I'm wondering if they left it kind of hanging that way, just so that they didn't have to try to explain it, because they knew that really at the end of the day, it doesn't make much sense at all. And even when she started poking around on the walls with sticks, you would hear like multiple groans, and it's almost like they just became one mass, like one biomass. Like there was no individual decaying Dalek. They were all just one at that point. It definitely is an interesting one. And if we're going that direction with things that kind of caught us off guard, I think I have one about the Daleks as well that I'll mention later on. But this is also the scene where, as they're going through the sewer, the doctor is still up in the middle of the Daleks, and he's starting to like get pretty angry. Where's Clara at? And the whole idea of the doctor without hope. And that's one of those things that at the start of the story, Missy really mentions about the doctor always has hope. He always believes he's going to win. This is the one situation that he had his confession ahead of ready ahead of time, his last will and testament. He believes he's going to die. He's without hope. And as he's going crazy, or not going crazy, but spouting off about where's Clara, you better tell me where Clara is. And if she really is dead, you better find a pretty good way to tell me that she's dead. And Missy says, the doctor without hope, no one is safe now. And then he'll burn everything, us too. Just kind of that idea of like the doctor really, they're trying to portray the doctor really at the end of his rope. He believes that Missy and, well, he believes Missy's dead. He's not really concerned about that. He believes that Claire is gone for good though. And he's just at the end of himself.
Yeah. And so when they're in the sewer, the other thing that happened too, we were kind of talking before about the, how Clara was being a little bit naive this episode.
Yeah.
And this, that's the scene where she allows herself to be handcuffed to some sort of like a, I don't know, monitor or some sort of like security camera, I guess.
Yeah.
Which I was like, in watching it the second time, because the first time it kind of caught me off guard. I was like, oh, wow, she handcuffed her and I wasn't even paying attention. But this time I was kind of watching for like, how did she even manage to do that? And Clara literally just like gives her her hand and lifts it up. Right. You know, it's like she didn't even try to get out of there. So yeah, it's scenes like that, and then also their whole plan to take down the Dalek with the with that special metal or whatever.
Yeah,
and then you know, she convinces Clara to get inside the Dalek. Just all these things where I'm just like, come on, Clara, you've traveled enough with the Doctor, you need to know these things. Like, you shouldn't be just, you know, willingly walking inside of a Dalek.
Yeah, the only thing that I can in my mind explain all of that away, well, not the whole peer into the security camera where Missy's like, look at this, and Claire's like, look at what? Look at this over here. What am I looking at? It's like, seriously, come on now. You didn't start traveling with the doctor yesterday. You're on Skaro, for goodness sakes. The only thing, so that one totally was like, come on, Claire, think about it a little bit. But then climbing into the Dalek, the only thing that I could think of was, she really thinks this is the only way that she can help the doctor. And she's just going to do it, even though she doesn't really want to. That, or she has a concussion from the 20-foot fall.
Yeah, but like, why does she feel like she's going to be able to help the doctor at this point? You know, what power is she going to have as one Dalek, you know, where there's so many other Daleks? Even if she goes in guns blazing, like, what is her hope to rescue the doctor with this plan specifically?
Because at the beginning of the episode, they gave us the magic answer, and the Dalek, or the doctor always wins because he believes from the beginning he will win. And Clara, she believes she's going to win, and before any plan is going to work. It's the whole Moffat-esque, if you think and believe hard enough, then everything will work out in the end.
Okay. so yeah, and there's a pretty pivotal scene going on here as well with the doctor and Davros, where Davros starts to do the whole villain thing and starts to explain, you know, probably explain too much to the doctor, but he's explaining to the doctor how, you know, he is actually vampiring off of the Daleks, and that's what's keeping him alive. And so there's this network, I guess, that is running through cables into some sort of a, you know, machine. And that is somehow reaching the Daleks, or the Daleks, it's reaching him and keeping him alive. But he's, you know, implying to the doctor that, hey, you could reverse this technology and actually use it to kill the Daleks. So, yes. Which comes my second part of the episode that I didn't like at all. And that explanation to me is, it just makes no sense to me. Like, why are there cables at all then? Like, is this Wi-Fi enabled? Like, how is anything reaching him from the Daleks? Like, I don't know. It's an interesting thing.
Yeah, they definitely, like, at the start of the episode, or in The Magician's Apprentice, Davros is in the middle of all those wires and cords and everything like that. So at that point, it does make a little bit more sense, I guess, with the explanation. But at this point in time, you're right. He's like freely driving around the room. He's not hooked up to anything at all. So maybe it's like conductive. Maybe it's in the floor, and because his wheelchair thing is connected to the floor, it's like coming up into him. I don't know. Yeah, that one was one of those things where, yeah, I guess you're right. Unless there's like some cord on the floor running to him that we don't see. It really doesn't make any sense at that point.
Well, even it's kind of my bigger issue with it is like, how is the power getting from the Daleks to him? Like, because I see the cables, and apparently the power is coming through the cables, but there's no cables connected to the Daleks. So is it, I guess, you know, like you said, the floor, maybe. It does conduct to the floor. And hey, that actually ties back in with the episode or season one. Was it season one? One of the first seasons of First Doctor. Remember when the Daleks, their whole way to defeat them was to like make it so they weren't touching the floor anymore because how they got their power?
You're right.
So you just inadvertently explained it.
I just inadvertently, yeah. I mean, they are back on Skaro, right?
So yeah, I guess if that technology worked for the Daleks before where the power was running through the floor and they're touching the floor, then you could say that maybe that's what's running the power to this machine, and the cables that we see is just running power to Davros.
And it's only the Daleks that are there on Skaro at that point in time.
I guess. Or there's some sort of psychic energy involved. I don't know.
The ones that are not flying right now.
Or a Wi-Fi signal. I don't know. Like, it was all so odd. And then when we get to the whole idea of the Time Lord magic and all that later on, that's, you know, it all just really makes no sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, what's happening at that point in time, though, is like the temptation of the Doctor, right?
Yeah.
He's being tempted to do what he's wanted to do and rid the world, or the rid himself of the Daleks once for all. That's a single knife in the back of so many. It's the first temptation of the Doctor, if you will.
Yeah. And so we have a pretty cool scene with Clara and Missy as well, where once she gets Clara into the Dalek, she starts having Clara, you know, hey, say your name or say this. And Clara pretty much can only communicate, I am a Dalek, and exterminate. Are pretty much the only things that she can communicate. And at the time, it just seems like Missy is kind of just trying to play a joke on her, like, haha, it's funny that I'm making you say these things.
Yeah.
But it really plays into something bigger later on. So this is a pretty interesting scene.
Yeah, and I at this point, I started to freak out a little bit, to be quite honest.
Because you're claustrophobic?
No, because all I saw was Soufflé Girl.
Oh,
all
yeah.
I saw was the Dalek chained into a room, freaking out. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is the end of Clara. We've come full circle. She starts out as a Dalek. She ends as a Dalek. She's not getting out of that thing again. I started to like freak out a little bit at that point in time. I thought this was the end.
You thought they were going to kill her off in episode two?
I thought she was done. I thought she was going out as a Dalek. And I thought that is just like, I would have never expected it. And it would have been perfect.
Yeah, I thought Soufflé Girl too. I mean, I think that it's an interesting that they decided to put her back inside a Dalek again, because yeah, that's, you know, that's something that big that happened with the Doctor first meeting her, was the whole idea that she was inside a Dalek.
Yeah, and like Missy, she escorts Missy, all this stuff. They end up, and Missy's like, "I have something better for you. I have her canned," and like. Just the concept of at that point Claire getting chained up as a Dalek in some room and she just loses it, like we're back to when Smith initially meets her. I thought it would have just been such it would have been terrifying, to be quite honest. Like I would have freaked out at that point, but it would have been such a great way to see Claire's story end in a very terrible, terrific way.
So let's talk a little bit about the scene with the Doctor and Davros, and the part where Davros really starts to play up the compassion side of the Doctor.
Yeah.
And we have a scene where Davros is, you know, the Doctor tells him that he actually saved the Time Lords.
Yep.
And Davros is like, oh, congratulations. But it's like a sincere congratulations. He's not like sarcastic. He's like, oh, I'm really happy for you that you saved your people. You know, everyone needs a people group, or however you said it. Everyone needs a civilization. And the doctor is kind of confused, like, oh, why are you being so nice to me? Next thing you know, Davros is crying.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to feel bad for this guy. Like, I don't know if it got you, but, like, I was starting to think, oh, this is the direction this episode's going to go. They're going to, not that they're going to try to justify any of his actions or say that he's a good guy, but have this character actually die with some sort of dignity and maybe realize some of the fault in his ways.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, at this point, it was just such a cool interaction. Both of them played their parts amazingly well. My heart was like, I loved it. I was in Davros's hands at that point in time. I bought it hook, line, and sinker when he started to cry, when he wanted to see the doctor with his own eyes. And then the icing on the cake is when Davros said, tell me, am I a good man? And, like, it's going back to series 8, right? Where the doctor asks Clara, am I a good man? Like, Davros is doing the exact same thing. So he's playing the doctor. He's plucking all the right strings right now. And I bought it. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm really loving the episode at that point in time. I was in Davros's hands.
Yeah, this is the biggest, or I don't know, like the most memorable scene, I would say, in the whole episode.
Yeah.
You know, you have Davros, who is a character that, as far as I can remember, we've never even known that he has, you know, that he still had his eyes. You know,
right,
it looks
right.
Like his eyes are gone and he's got just the Dalek eye on the forehead. So to see this character close up and to see him with all this emotion and tears coming out of his eyes and his eyes open up and he's like connecting with the doctor. Yeah, I was for a moment, I was fooled.
Oh, he had me fooled. I never looked back at that point, especially when he cracks a joke about, we've learned one thing, you're a terrible doctor. And, like, even the doctor laughs at that point. Like, yeah. I was his at that point.
Yeah, him and the doctor are laughing together. Yeah, and so he, in the big thing, and the kind of the big thing that, you know, is pivotal and tricks the doctor, is he wants to see the sunrise or sunset.
Yeah. Sunrise.
And he wants to see the sunrise. And so the doctor gets him by the window. He's trying to prolong his life because it looks like he's about to die any second. So he's trying to power up, you know, his chair with as many of these cords as he can find. And then the doctor realizes, or he says, I can't open my eyes anymore. And so the doctor realizes that, you know, he's not going to be able to help him. But he feels like he owes not Davros, but the boy that he left.
Yeah.
He owes him a sunrise.
Yep.
Which is still, like, you know, tugging at my heartstrings. I'm like, oh, this is such, like, an emotional moment. And the doctor's like, don't tell anybody I did this, you know, lights his hand up. Who knew that the doctor could just do that? But, you know, he's like, I'm going to help you out. I kind of thought he was just going to, like, maybe touch Davros's head or his chest or something with the energy. But no, he's got to go back to the machine. Which is, I guess, what, you know, leads to them starting to drain his power and Davros revealing that he was just trying to trick the doctor all along and broke all of our hearts.
And I got so angry at that point in time. I was with you because now I could have sworn there were episodes where the doctor used his hands, touched someone's head, and, like, did something in their mind. Am I just making that up? That did happen in episodes, right?
Yeah, there was something. Yeah, you're right. There was something. I can't remember the details surrounding it, but I do remember there was a moment where there was some sort of kind of like a mind meld. I feel like that might have even been Capaldi.
Yeah, okay. So I'm not going crazy because when he, like, pulled out his hand and he's like, don't tell anybody I did this, I thought he was going to do something similar, like grab Davros's head and, like, let him see through his eyes or something weird like that. I didn't expect him to go the regeneration energy route, like the regeneration life force, the Time Lord magic route. Totally didn't expect that. But yeah, Colony Sarf really bided his time. He just kind of sat there among the cords throughout everything. I don't know what he was thinking when he saw Davros cry, but and then the doctor grabbed it and We have a Luke Skywalker getting zapped by Emperor Palpatine moment where the doctor's just like standing there shaking. No, no.
Maybe the worst acting Capaldi's had all season or his entire run. But before we move on from this, because we did get a question relating to this from one of our listeners, Sean Heller, and he asked, what is up with the doctor using regeneration at will or regeneration energy at will? So we're kind of talking about that now. There is some precedence for this. As I'm thinking about it, I'm remembering that maybe River Song is kind of the precedence, but I know River Song kind of used her energy at will a couple times.
And Matt Smith used his energy on River Song's wrist.
Right.
In Angels Take Manhattan.
That's what I was thinking, yes. I was actually getting that flipped. I was thinking that she used her own energy actually to fix her wrist, but no, you're right. That was the doctor that did that for her.
Yeah, the doctor did that, and he made some comment about like shortening his life or something along those lines, right. Similar to what Capaldi did. Like, this is going to cost me a hand or a foot at some point in time.
And then I believe River Song used her regeneration energy to save the doctor's life when he was poisoned, she claimed actually cost her all of her future regenerations.
You're right. That was let's kill Hitler.
Right. So yeah. We do have some precedents for this. Although it did I kind of thought the same thing when it happened. The more I thought about it, I was like, oh no. I mean, the Doctor or other Time Lords have done similar things where they could at will, you know, use a little bit of their energy to help heal someone or to save someone's life.
And depending on which direction we go with this version of the Doctor. But essentially it's a reboot of regenerations, right? So he has excess regeneration to use.
He does. Kind of the way it was explained, I think, when he kind of rebooted it was that he regained all of his regeneration. So I guess we're back at, what is it, 12 or 13 that he has?
Yeah. Well,
one of them is going to show up with
a limp.
As he was holding onto those cables and pumping energy apparently into all of the Daleks of the entire world. You would think that may have cost him a few of those regenerations.
You'd start to think that, and maybe we now know why there's not going to be a series 10, right?
So I was thinking about that. That was kind of my other big hang-up with the episode, was the fact that the Doctor's regeneration energy could be transferred to Daleks. You know, if we're talking about the whole idea that maybe the energy or the power was being transferred through the floor, you can't really explain that with Time Lord energy. You know, I don't know. It just seemed odd that the Doctor, whatever he was pumping back into those cables, you know, was somehow magically ending up in each Dalek. It was a bit of a stretch for my mind to wrap around.
Yeah, it's probably one of those plot holes that they never really... They were hoping that everybody would get so caught up in the Doctor and Davros and Clara and Missy... that they would not really try to consider how all the energy is getting to and from the different individuals involved at that point. But yeah, Sean Heller, what's up with that regeneration energy? That's a great question.
What is up with that? Yeah. And we have another what's up with that for the next question, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think that the idea of the episode, what they were trying to get across, the moments between Davros and the Doctor's struggle with compassion versus, you know, whatever, that is the episode. That's what actually made the episode good. But the details of how it all went down, you know, with the energy and how that actually worked, and with the slime monsters that ended up killing all the Daleks, like... That to me was a little bit more like, I feel like they could have come up with maybe some better ways of portraying the exact same thing, you know, as opposed to having just like the Dalek sludge, maybe actually have some, you know, maybe kind of decayed, but still fully formed Daleks, like kind of come out and kill things. But yeah, you're right. The overall idea of the episode, I think, is really what actually saves it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, we can be really hard on an episode, and we can go through it with a fine tooth comb and pick out everything that really doesn't make sense, or things that could have been done different. Or I mean, for goodness sake, at one point in time, the doctor has a teacup and a saucer and he's drinking tea, and he says, "I'm the doctor, just accept it." Like, that's right. That's kind of how you have to approach a lot of elements of this episode. Like, well, how did that get there? Or explain this one to me. Well, it's Doctor Who. Just accept it.
Yes.
Enjoy the story for what it is, and kind of the bigger elements and the peek behind the curtain that we get. But I kind of feel like at the end of the day, both of us are just like, yeah, it's Doctor Who. We just accept it.
That's, yeah. I mean, really, you can't be a fan unless you can take those words to heart.
Yeah.
Because as much as I nitpick, and I do like to nitpick this stuff, and I like to roll my eyes at it, and I like to complain about it, I still love Doctor Who. You know, yeah. It doesn't, those things are never going to turn me away from it, because I know that's part of Doctor Who, but it's, I'm going to still complain about it.
And honestly, I wouldn't have it any other way. Our episodes would be so short if we didn't have these moments.
Right. What would we talk about?
I mean, yeah, but at this time, like after the whole regeneration, Missy bursts in the room, shoots Colony Sarf. He's gone. He's out of the picture. I don't think we're going to be seeing him come back. That snake looked pretty dead.
yes. And that was a laugh out loud moment for me, too. And I don't think it was meant to be funny, but the way that snake died,
<I know. laughs>
it, right? It just kind of like fell down. It was like, ah, and then like its head just fell to the side.
it was totally one of those moments where it was like, okay, he could have probably died a little bit better than that.
It was a little puppet snake. Yeah. That was
but the countdown from the doctor where he's running around, he picks up the confession dial, like, and I'll get to that later, but, yeah, so like he has that countdown again, his arrogance. He knew what was going to happen. He counts down, he hits one, and the planet falls apart. And then Missy walks up to Davros and he's, "So nice to meet you, finally happy to meet you," holds out her hand and then taps him on the eye and runs out the door.
Like the bully she is.
Yeah, I just love, I mean, the way that Missy Gomez, or yeah, Missy Gomez, the way that she's portraying Missy, Michelle Gomez is portraying Missy. It had it just was perfect, this episode, in my mind. Like, it was honestly solid. But yeah, it was just fun. But like you said, the sewer monsters are now starting to come. The doctor runs down the hall, and all of a sudden we get Dalek rolling up. "I am Dalek, I am Dalek, I am Dalek." And we have Missy, who's now convincing the doctor to kill that Dalek.
Yeah, this is where you start to see Missy's true colors. I mean, she's been picking on Clara the whole episode, but it still seems like they were working together. She obviously cared to go save the doctor, but when it comes down to it, when Missy had the opportunity, she was willing to kill Clara. She was trying very hard to get the doctor to kill his own companion, and that's where you start to realize, you know what? As much as they're trying to make us like Missy, in the end, she is just a rotten to the core character.
Yeah, that's that whole scene of her telling the doctor, "Claire died, this is the one that did it, kill this Dalek." And then the doctor's like, the Dalek is just saying, "I am Dalek, I am Dalek," and the doctor asking it questions. And now I'm usually the one that is pretty accepting, but here's the question that I have. Okay, here's my big question about Missy or Clara being inside the Dalek. I always thought it was the Dalek inside the tank that was the one that had been modified and exterminate and all that jazz. They make it seem like the programming is in the tank. It's not the Dalek itself. Am I picking that up right? Because whatever Clara was saying, she had no genetic modifications, but whatever Clara was saying, the tank itself was the one that was doing the translation and everything.
Right. Yeah. You would think that whatever she said would come out through that speakerphone.
Right. Like, where was the modification? Is the modification in the tank, which they called it multiple times, like they are many tanks, or is it in the creature that's inside the tank? One is the Dalek?
I'm going to be the apologist now and come up with the in-universe explanation for this. And this, actually, now that you bring it up, you're right. That does, it's kind of like, oh yeah, that doesn't really make any sense. But if you kind of look back on, so think about the episode where the doctor shrunk down and went inside a Dalek.
Yes.
And remember all the stuff that was trying to kill him and the antibodies and all that, but it was all very mechanical.
Yes.
So in my mind, the Dalek and the tank that the Dalek live in is actually one kind of entity. And so there is mechanical, you know, things going on. There's biological things going on. And it kind of all fuses together. And so when you have those leads that were going into her head, that part of the Dalek, I believe, in my mind, would be kind of the biological part of it that's transferring her consciousness and everything into the mechanical part of it. And so there's probably some element of residual leftover of the Dalek that is still going on that is causing it to still have the reactions that a Dalek would have. Are you buying it?
I'll accept bits and pieces of that. I guess I'm still curious then, going back to that episode, why aren't the antibodies like destroying Clara in there?
Because they accepted
her. Nanotech.
She wasn't as foreign, I guess, because when they went in as like these small little things, they were almost seen as viruses.
Yeah.
So I guess it accepted her.
Yeah. But anyways,
You make a very good point. It does not make sense that what she's saying is, for whatever reason, being run through Dalek DNA or Dalek consciousness. That Dalek is gone.
I guess, again, at the end of the day, it's Doctor Who.
It's Doctor Who. Accept it. Accept it. Yeah. Moffat literally wrote that line talking to the fans. He literally was talking to the fans. And I thought that when I watched the episode and he said that as he's drinking the tea, he's like, I'm the doctor, just accept it. Yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, that was Moffat literally talking to me.
I want Moffat in an interview or in a panel of some sort to honestly say, I'm Moffat, just accept it.
Just accept it, yeah.
Just accept it.
We will always have this stuff as long as Moffat is the showrunner. We will always have these things that make no sense.
but
it was kind of a tragic scene. I mean, take the logic out of it. Just the idea that Claire was trying to communicate to the doctor and everything she said was either I'm a Dalek or exterminate.
Oh, no. Yeah,
it
totally.
It was very tragic. Like, I was feeling really bad for her. I knew they weren't going to kill her. You know, I figured if they're going to talk this actress into sticking around for the season, they're not going to kill her off in episode two. So I knew they weren't going to kill her, but at the same time, I was kind of on the edge of my seat. Like, how is she going to get out of this? You know, obviously Missy's not going to help her, but the doctor finally, because of, I think, the type of responses she was giving him, and then the fact that she said, have mercy.
Mercy.
Is when it tipped him off, like, wait, you shouldn't be able to say that, you Dalek, even though there's no Dalek in there.
Yeah. But I thought this was the end. I thought the doctor, he was going to be the one that had mercy and left her behind. I thought we were going to get Clara chained up as a Dalek and she loses her mind and she retreats to herself and becomes Soufflé Girl. But instead, the Dalek convinces her to think open thoughts and the Dalek opens and then he tells Missy to run, and Missy pulls the whole line of like, this was just to show you enemy and your friend and your enemy, we're all kind of the same, everybody's a little bit of both. And then when he says run, and she's like, I was never the one to run, doctor, and then she like walks away. Such a great scene. Then Clara gets out and then they run off to the command room with all the other Daleks.
Yeah, and she gets caught. Missy gets caught, and then we don't know what happens to Missy. I'm assuming that she gets out of it, I would assume. But yeah, they kind of leave us hanging with exactly what happens to Missy.
She had a clever idea.
I have a clever idea. So that's not going to be the last we see of Missy, I don't think. But did they ever really explain why the goopy old Daleks didn't kill the humans? And why they only killed other Daleks?
No, they never explained that.
Or I guess the Time Lords, not humans.
Yeah, the doctor ran his hand through the goopy, and it didn't seem to do anything to him other than concern him that things were happening.
Okay. Yeah.
They never explained it other, like, I mean, Missy had the whole thing in the sewer where she's like, oh, you've been stabbed in a bad neighborhood. They smell blood. It looks like they want to steal your motor. I don't know. Maybe they were just like angry that there were still Daleks that were okay.
Yeah, that was so weird. All that was so weird. I had a hard time with that. The mud Daleks or whatever. I don't know if there's going to be a kind of a way to refer to them, but yeah, it just.
My vision's impaired.
Oh man. So yeah, we get this. The Doctor and Clara escape. They're heading, or well, I guess we kind of skipped what happened with the TARDIS. So the TARDIS is actually not. It hasn't been destroyed. It's just been, scattered,
Dispersed.
and part of a program that's built into the TARDIS, I guess, maybe when it's about to get destroyed. Kind of cool. I like that idea. The Doctor is in the force field. They can't kill him, and then he uses his sonic. Wait, not his sonic. So we have. So I
Don't
guess
touch them. You better not have scratched these.
that's our other question that we got. Let's see, who is that from? So we
That
get
is
a
from
question.
Christopher Parents.
Christopher Parent, another listener here, asks, "What is with the sonic sunglasses?" So
What is with those sonic sunglasses, Christopher?
the doctor doesn't have his sonic anymore, and Clara points that out to him, but he says, "Oh, I've given up on sonics. Something about the way they mess up
They ruined the line of the
the
jacket, and
lining
that's
of the
so
jacket."
true. That's so true.
Is it true? I don't carry around a sonic too often. Usually, if I do, it's in the back pocket.
Well, like if you put something heavy, so you throw on a nice coat, a nice jacket, and if you put something heavy in one of the inside pockets, it just totally throws off the lines of the jacket.
Oh,
Like
the
you got this lump
lines.
here.
Okay,
Yeah,
see, I
like
thought he
it's
said
not
the
as cool.
lining.
No, the line of the jacket. It doesn't
Got
look
it.
as sleek.
Okay. So, okay, I get that then. That makes sense. That's why I don't carry a wallet.
Yeah.
So I can, commiserate with the man of style, but so he ends up replacing a sonic with, are they sonic sunglasses? Is that what we're supposed to think
Yeah,
there? Like he hits the side of it. You hear like the sonic sound briefly, and then that's what brings the TARDIS back together. So do you think that the doctor really has traded in his sonic for sonic sunglasses, or was this just a one-off kind of like Matt Smith's sonic cane that he had for one episode?
here's the thing. The next episode. The preview for the next episode, they make a pretty big deal of him throwing on his sunglasses again. So the only thing that sticks out in my mind is that maybe he's gonna play with it for a little bit. I mean, honestly, cosplayers just got it's either a very cool thing for them to do or a very bad thing for them to do, because now a lot of people can cosplay. They just need to pick up a black pair of Wayfarers. I think I spotted some on Amazon for like $5 that you could pretend are Sonic sunglasses. On the other hand, if you were
Get them
really
now.
digging the Sonic screwdriver, man, your cosplay costume just got a little bit simpler. There you go.
Get them now before the price goes up. Go get those sunglasses. The whoever whatever company makes those is gonna realize, oh man, this has become a hot item now.
I know,
So let's.
Wayfair just got a big boost in their sales from the Doctor Who fandom.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I think it's. I mean, the Sonic is like that is. Part of what the doctor is, he's got his TARDIS, he's got his Sonic. And I know not every doctor had one, but all the modern doctors did or have so far. And I know they lose them from time to time, have to replace them. And maybe that's what's happening right now. He lost his, he threw it to Davros, and I guess he's just decided not to get it back. But yeah, I hope that this isn't like a thing for this doctor where he doesn't have a Sonic anymore and is gonna just do the whole sunglasses thing. I am not. I feel like there's certain aspects and elements of the Doctor that just need to, kind of stay the same for it to be Doctor Who, and I feel like the sonic screwdriver is one of those things.
Yeah, it was one of those when he put them on his face and he said, I'm moving to wearables, and like he touched the side of it. It didn't have that same, like, you didn't even know what he was doing. And then, like you said, like the sonic sound played like very briefly, and it didn't even seem like it was coming from the sunglasses. It just seemed like a random sound effect that they threw in there. there was it lacked that same like tactile like interface that you would see with the Sonic. It just didn't seem right. Not even to the point, like, I think it's a cool idea. Like, I could go with that. Like, cool, sunglasses. That's awesome. I don't know. But it was lacking that whole like touching dramatic effect of, oh, he's pulling out his Sonic. I don't know. Maybe it would grow if they did it for a longer period of time. But I really do like the Sonic. I miss the Sonic screwdriver.
Yeah, I think it needs to be his like his secondary, you know, kind of how Tennant had his 3D glasses, yeah, and Smith did the Fez every once in a while. Have it be something that he'll pop out from time to time, almost as a joke. Maybe have River Song step on them at some point. You know, like kind of how she blew up the Fez, you know, kind of like, no, it's not cool. And like have her just literally stomp on them. Yeah. But no, they need to, and maybe this is just him. Maybe he's getting a new Sonic. That would be cool. Like a brand new Sonic.
So going back to River Song, the whole thing was River Song has a Sonic. It's a different Sonic than we've ever seen before. We know River Song is coming back for the Christmas episode. If you didn't know that, sorry, spoilers, River Song is coming back for the Christmas episode. So that's the thing. He has to get a new Sonic so that River Song can have a new Sonic, so that back in Silence in the Library, she has a Sonic we've never seen before. So I don't know. There's a theory for you.
Cool. We've had our 5 minutes of River Song this episode. We have not had our 5 minutes of Danny Pink.
Danny Pink is old news.
Have we phased out that segment?
With a new series, I mean, other than the mention of the boyfriend being dead, I'm still hoping that at the end of the season we have him coming back. Wouldn't that be a great way to send Claire off, having Danny Pink ride into the sunset and take him with her?
I don't think that's a bad prediction. I really don't. I think that is a very viable thing that could happen. I think they do possibly figure out a way, bring him back, and have her end up happily ever after with him.
We'll see. We'll see. It might be the only way for it to end happily for Clara.
Yeah. But
because she's still Soufflé Girl. I don't know how she's going to get back in that Dalek.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think that the whole explanation as to why she was in that Dalek was the fact that she jumped into the Doctor's time stream.
Yeah.
So I think that's already been explained. I don't think we're going to get any kind of wrap-up for that one.
It just would have been so good.
But and that was our 5 minutes of Danny Pink.
That's our 5 minutes of Danny Pink. And we are at the end of this episode. So before I grab your thoughts on the overall episode, I have 7 more questions for you.
Are we not going to talk about the final scene with the kid?
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
So we have the final scene. The doctor
realizes. And there's a kid. We're done.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move.
Is it past your bedtime, Adam? so we get the end scene. The doctor realizes he's about to go away in the TARDIS with Clara. Everything's, you know, happy. But then the doctor realizes, wait, you know, the Daleks shouldn't have been able to know anything about Mercy. And so then he, you know, realizes that he is what caused that. So he jumps in the TARDIS, flies back. The kid's there. And we get a repeat of the scene we had already seen in last episode. The doctor is there.
We have to wait until the very end of this episode to see where in the world that comes in.
Right. And he says, you know, the kid's like, whatever, you need to help me. And then he holds up the gun and says, I'm saving my friend the only way I know how. And then we think, oh, maybe he's going to shoot the kid. Nope. He's going to shoot all the hand mines with precision accuracy.
He is one darn good shot.
Yes. So yeah, he takes them out one shot at a time, kills them off. Tells the kid, hey, come on over here. They walk away hand in hand. And he says the line, always mercy. And there's a longer line before that. But the whole point was he's showing the kid mercy, and that's why Davros knew about mercy. That's why it got transferred into the Daleks, and that's why the Dalek was able to say it, and that's why Claire was able to be saved.
Yep.
It's all very timey-wimey.
Timey-wimey.
But I love it. I love it when
that stuff
always
happens. Mercy.
Always mercy. Hashtag always mercy. Yeah, so, yeah. I liked the way it ended. Give me your 7 questions before I give you my overall thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. So 7 questions again. Like last week when I said 7 questions, yes or no answers only. I like coming up with these questions for you because I like hearing your thoughts.
How many did I get right last episode?
Oh, yeah. So the ones that you could get right or wrong. So the first one was the doctor, little girl. You said no.
We don't know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Is Missy really dead? You said no. You got that right. Is Claire really dead? You said no. You got that right. Does the doctor kill Davros? You said no. You got that right to a point.
He yeah, I was going to say.
Really? And then does Davros die? You said yes, which that's debatable. I would say no. He's not dead. But that's
you don't think the sludge monsters like the taste of Davros?
Nah, I think they left him alive for another day. Plus, the Time Lord energy just extended his life even more. So he's going to be around for another series or two. Do you see Colony Sarf again this season? You said no, and I would say you're right because that snake is dead. in dramatic fashion. And then the seventh question was, do you see the Daleks again after this next episode? And you said yes.
And we don't know yet.
We don't know yet. So questions for Witches Familiar, seven questions, yes or no only. Will we see the vampire monkey storyline?
No.
Okay. Do we find out about Missy's daughter?
No.
Could the doctor escape Davros without Missy?
No.
Did you think Claire was going to die?
No.
Is the screwdriver gone for good?
No.
Does Missy appear again this series?
Ooh. Wow. This series, no.
And do the Daleks appear again this series?
Yes.
So all of them no, but the last one, yes.
Yeah, Daleks tend to show up at least twice in a season. Missy, that's the hard one, though. I think there's a very – I'm 50-50 on that one. I do think that she could show back up at some point, but I'm going to – if I had to yes or no answer, I would say no.
Okay.
But, yeah.
We have those ones recorded.
All right. Yeah, so overall thoughts on this one. Obviously, I think I said it a number of times, I had issues with the details of kind of how some of the story went down. The overall story I liked. I liked the idea of him having this kind of battle of the wits with Davros. Missy and Clara together was fun to watch. I like how it kind of all ended with the doctor outwitting him with the help of his friends. And I did like the tenseness of the scene with Clara and the Dalek. I thought that was cool. So overall, I really did like the episode. But some of the details, like the way that the doctor kind of, you know, defeated Davros with using the ancient sludge of Daleks and using his Time Lord energy to awaken them. I feel like there could have been maybe a better way for them to go about it. But, you know, overall the episode was a good episode to watch. Did like it better the second time around. First time around, I remember after it was all over, I was just like, what? Really? Like, that's how it... So, but yeah, it tends to take a second viewing for me to digest some of this stuff.
Nice. Cool.
What about you?
My side, I was flying high after this episode. For the Magician's Apprentice, I had to watch it twice. I felt very much like you. Had to watch it twice. It was after the second time that it was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. This one, from the very moment that I started watching it, from the very moment that we get Clara and Missy considered the doctor segment with Clara swinging from the rope and Missy sharpening her stick, I loved the episode. It was... it is darn near close to being one of my favorite episodes of Doctor Who that I've watched. I love the interaction between the Doctor and Davros in all the different sections with the temptation and then with the compassion and Davros crying. And it was a solid all-around episode. Like you said, there are definitely little things here and there that when you stop and think about it, it's like, okay, yeah, that really doesn't make sense. But again, like we said so many times during this episode, it's Doctor Who. You just got to accept it. And I went full on fanboy on this episode. Definitely one of my favorites. Capaldi. This could put Capaldi. I said it last during Series 8. This could put Capaldi over the roof when it comes to being better than Tennant in my mind. I'm going to reserve judgment just for a little bit longer before I take Tennant off that seat. But I love this episode. Such a solid episode. I'm concerned about what's going to happen with episode 3 and episode 4. These look like pretty interesting episodes with Under the Lake and Before the Flood. Not sure how I'm going to do with the ghost people. I'm hoping that this is just the beginning. This two-parter that we just watched is just the beginning of an incredible series. I think it's off to a great start. But yeah, I'm two thumbs up with this episode.
Well, the way that you'll know when Capaldi surpasses Tennant will be when you start to remember Capaldi in episodes that you're trying to think back on.
Yes.
When that starts happening, then you'll know for sure.
And the other way is when you start seeing pictures of me with my hair froed out. You'll know that I'm officially gone.
If you start cosplaying as the 12th Doctor, then you definitely need to start coming to conventions with me again.
I already have the eyebrows. I just need to dye them gray.
Just grow your hair out a little bit, poof it up, put some powdered sugar in there, or some flour or whatever, whiten it up.
Nice.
But yeah. Yeah, Capaldi for me, like I said, I felt like in the first episode, I was really digging that version of Capaldi. You know, it seemed like there was some Smith in there, some more of the humor, but not the mean humor. I feel like this episode, he's kind of back to his old ways, and I wonder if that's just the way that they're going to stick with him. And I don't like him as much that way. So he's kind of fallen down a couple notches for me. Tennant's in no danger in my mind to be displaced as my favorite Doctor.
Just you wait. We're just at the beginning.
Yeah, that's true. But I like all the modern Doctors. They all bring a different, you know, different flair. So I like them totally. All. But Capaldi's working his way in there. But I don't even know if he's surpassed Eccleston yet for me.
Wow.
There's wow. too much nostalgia with Eccleston, and also the Rose factor, I think, plays a part there too.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what happens with it's going to be interesting. How long is Capaldi going to be around, and new companion, and all sorts of other things? It's going to be fun.
True, that can make or break a Doctor, really.
It can definitely make or break.
All right, well, I think we're good to wrap this one up. What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, no other questions came in. We just had the two. Really, really awesome to see those. I think the last time we tried that, no one replied. So it was really cool to see two people jump on that. So yeah, I think we're good to go.
All right. So as usual, you can leave us a review on iTunes. I was actually just checking out iTunes today, Adam, looking to see if anybody had left us any reviews recently. And we did. We had a couple reviews recently that I was happy to see.
So awesome.
If you're listening to our show and you're enjoying it, we would love for you to head over to iTunes, leave us a nice 5-star review. That would help us out, and it would help people to find our show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast, Facebook, Bad Wolf Radio. You never know, on Facebook we might drop a question like we did right before an episode and actually ask your questions on the show. So keep an eye on Facebook. And you can always send us an email, badwolfpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you that way as well. And yeah, as usual, you can check us out over on the Shot Glass Digital Podcast Network. So until next time,
later days!